Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Well, good evening. It is a Friday evening, and I'm Scott Cluthie, co-host of Live with the Dementia Whisperer. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident, or a client who is presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behavior? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve the quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show, and we do want to hear from our listeners, especially today, as I'm live in Houston, Texas, Hurricane Alley, as it's sort of becoming. And we'd love to hear from you, which also, by the way, a wonderful bonus. You get a free copy of the award-winning bestseller, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss. And that, of course, is authored by the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura. Welcome.
Hi, Scott, and thank you for the wonderful introduction, as always. You know, I'm always so honored to be with you, and we're going to have a very different kind of show today. We talked a little bit right before we went online, but I want our listening audience to know you are not alone. And so if you have any worries, concerns, or anxieties, if you need advice, perhaps you need a little inspiration or encouragement on your dementia care journey, you've tuned into the right place. I'm Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer, and my whole mission in life is to help you, the caregiver, on this challenging journey. And I have had the wonderful opportunity to partner with Scott Cluthie, my co-host, and he also has I just want to say we've both got lots of scars along the way on our dementia journeys as well.
Yeah.
We're experienced, we're seasoned, we've pretty much heard it all so far, although everybody's journey is so different. And so we want to welcome you. This is a really soft place for caregivers to land, to talk about whatever is important to them. And Scott, take a minute or two to let the listening audience know about your experience as a radio host, as a caregiver, so that they can relate to why we work so well together.
Well, thank you, Laura. And the fact is, considering what my circumstances are right now, and they're actually better than 90% of the people in the Houston area. But still, I had to remember the opening show what day it was, because that's the way it's been. I haven't known what day it was because of the pressures. And then you take that and add in what's happening to people, and we're going to talk about that. Disaster care for the elderly and those with dementia and Alzheimer's and related illnesses, and really for anyone, even children. I mean, the kind of things we're going to be talking about are things to keep in your top shelf, not away in the drawer at the bottom, because you'll never find it when you need it. I have a lot of experience with human potential radio, with relationships radio, many, many decades, many years. I'm talking plus 40 years now. It's really incredible to think about the ripe age of 65. And traveled a pathway of caring for someone who had was in late stages of cancer, at the same time dealing with their mother who was exhibiting dementia and Alzheimer's. But, of course, at that time, 17, 18 years ago, even 19 years ago, I didn't have the language. It's just, you know, and I'm sure, Laura, you can relate to that. At 20 years ago, you know, 18 years ago, 17, for a lot of people today, oh, that's old people. Oh, you know they're like that. Oh, you just never know what's going to happen. Hey, Uncle Fred's out walking the streets again. What are we going to do? Oh, I don't know. Give him a sedative. You know, it's we live in a pop culture. We live in an instant answer culture. We live in an online culture now, which only exasperates the problem because people, yes, there's access to all this information, but no, it's not necessarily critical information and really addressing what you need. And people talk in generalities. People talk in rumors. Rumors become facts. Misinformation is relayed as gospel truth. And people are short attention span. I'm concerned about all the gray panthers out there. Your moms, your dads, your grandmothers, your grandfathers, and the younger generations without, you know, without insight, and the problem is exploding. It's exponentially more people becoming elderly. Then you exasperate it with disaster. Disaster can strike in so many ways, the truth is. I mean, if you live on a mountaintop and the electricity goes down from a rainstorm or a snowstorm, you know, if you live in a high rise and a flood comes along and knocks out the power, if you live somewhere that's inaccessible because of weather for any reason or other circumstances, and, of course, financial. Financial is an incredible disaster, but it's usually done silently, suffering in the dark because of our shame over not having enough, quote, unquote. Well, I traveled those paths and was fortunate enough, just because my lovely wife, Faye, was working in health care, that I got to know Laura Wayman and her lovely husband, Stephen, when they came to Houston to do a presentation here. Now, I was doing a lot of video work and media work, and I had my whole experience in doing conversation and talk and finding out who people are, what the real story is, not just a bunch of bullet points some press agent sent to me, because I never used those. I never in my life used a press agent list. I always tried to come from a conversation. And so that skill set really applied well to meet Laura Wayman and to help her with some of her media and then get to know her and then to work with her and then to be invited with her to work on this program, which we've been doing for quite a while now. I think we passed our 2-year anniversary. And
isn't that amazing?
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
It's remarkable because the fact is we've put out, we have a library of information on dementia right now on Blog Talk Radio. There's a library. You filter through it, and you're going to find some new information on every show. And so it's almost painful to think about all the people wrestling with these things. And I see these things online, and I say, you know, you really need to get Laura Wayman's book, or you need to get someone who's an expert, not just your uncle over in Michigan, who thinks they know what's going to happen because so-and-so happened, or that old standby, oh, they're just crazy, because they're not crazy. That's what we used to do, is lock people up. Hopefully now in a more enlightened age, we understand that these are human beings and they're living in a world of dementia. Alice in Wonderland, they're looking through a glass darkly. They happen to be in a different world than you, but that makes them no less valuable and no more and less viable. So along the road here, my long story, working with Laura, I also got involved hands-on in elder care by working with organizations that did placement, by working with companies that did marketing for every kind of facility, by hosting events with my wife, and now supporting her as the Houston representative for Clear Captions. The Clear Captions is a organization that's empowered under the Americans with Disabilities Act, 1994, George Bush signed that, and under Title IV, which has to do with the right, not the option, but the right of American citizens to have comparable communication skills, whether that's auditorily or visually, to be able to see the captions part. And so I support her in her mission to get these phones into the homes 95% are elders. We've been around kids who couldn't hear. And so, you know, it when you say dementia, it's very hard to put it in the home of someone with dementia. But on the other hand, when does that line cross? So if they're able to dial a phone, if they're able to push a button, if they're able to recognize someone's name on a phone book like this phone right next to me, I use one, and push a button and it dials someone who happens to be their daughter or their doctor or their son or their partner, that's a miracle for them. And to be able to see what they're saying in large captions, that's a miracle. And we've heard from people about the miracle it is for those who really use the technology available a month, 2 months later that, oh, my gosh, I can talk to my granddaughter now. I know what's going on. I know they're coming on Thursday. And you know, Laura, you know how often it's pushed aside. Well, Mom does. She forgot what day we're coming. Maybe she didn't even hear you. Maybe she misunderstood what you said. It's hard enough for me to talk with Laura Wayman live on the radio and get clear communication. So I've had a lot of experience.
And that's what I'd like to mention, Scott, that that's what I talk about in my trainings, is that our society also suffers from digital dementia. Digital dementia
yes.
means that we put all of our information digitally on our devices. When we can't go access them, we suffer from the dementia symptoms of not being able to access that particular information. That's what it's like to have dementia symptoms. You know, we all put our phone numbers
yes.
of everybody,
yes.
and we put all this information, and we can't get to that information. That and we present that in these frustrating digital dementia symptoms. You know, you can't call somebody if you don't have their number, and you can't access it in your phone.
Well, Laura, 20 minutes before our show, that's what I was dealing with. My cell phone decided it doesn't like the charge anymore today. I've been charging it three different places all day, getting 1%, 2%, turning on its side and go off and on. I tried to call Laura Wayman. Wayman, whose phone number is on what? My cell phone. And I said, oh, my God, I don't even have her number to call her to tell her I can't call her on my phone. Are you kidding me? And that's what we do. That's why I don't put my information in the cloud, by the way. I'm old school. I don't want my information in the cloud. What if the cloud, a fiber cable gets cut under the ocean and your cloud disappears? That's a lot like dementia, being cut off. It's there. You can't access it. Maybe you're not getting all the terabits of information, so you get through a glass darkly. And we're going to be sharing some information today, which is critical. I'm sitting in Houston. We have 8 million, 9 million people around Houston in the areas, and it's absolutely the biggest. I mean, there's incredible triumph, wonderful things going on, and there's horrible misery, and there's homes with 15 feet of water in them, and there's sewage plants that have overrun, and there's freeways that are underwater, and it's going down, but now then it reveals, you know, just the terror, and it's not going to take weeks or months. Some of this parts of Houston around here, Beaumont, Port Arthur, Lake Jackson, over where these Attucks dams are, these beautiful homes, Kingwood. Nobody ever thought it would flood in Kingwood. Kingwood, they're bringing them out and demanding they evacuate. And so this whole thing is going on right now, even as I speak. And what we're going to do is share from the Alzheimer's Association. This everybody should know about this, about a disaster preparedness, because, yes, now we're in the middle of it, but there's still information we'll share today that can be of value if you're in the middle of it still, to go back and say, oh, yeah, that's right, I did that. And like you said, Laura, trying to find that document, trying to find that information is when we're under a panic mode that it becomes the hardest. So I know I've talked a lot, but there's just a lot to say, isn't there?
There sure is. And I want to spend a little bit of time helping our listeners to understand the logistics involved if they're is a disaster like this that you are dealing with there in Houston, when it's assisted living and caring for the elderly in skilled nursing, let's talk about that, because what it is absolutely necessary for everyone to understand is that if you have a loved one who is being cared for in assisted living, in memory care, in skilled nursing, in board and care, you have to understand the logistics involved when there is this type of disaster like the flooding that is happening there in Houston. And even if you have elderly loved ones who are living in their own home and how difficult it is for them to be prepared for a disaster
because of the
things that happen when we are aging. I have just been absolutely speechless watching the horrific conditions and thinking about when I go in to do a training in a memory care and there are 20, 30 different residents who have different levels of loss of normal brain function, different dementia symptoms. And then I think about, like I said, these logistics. Talk about that, Scott, because I know you've worked in this industry, so let's help kind of paint a picture of those that are dealing with this or may or could be dealing with this in the future. How can they help get this preparedness done before this happens to any of us in the future, and also for us to think about how can we help those elderly in Houston and that whole area that has been devastated by Hurricane Harvey? How can we help now going forward? What kinds of things can we do? So,
here's the thing, Laura. It's still going on. The Brazos River is still rising. The San Jacinto River is still rising. It's not going down. They're going to be letting water out of the Attucks Reservoir and the one that's next to it that was built back in the 40s. These were built in the 40s as retainers for the city of Houston because Houston had a flood or a hurricane every year since its beginning, practically. And so they designed these back in the 40s, the Corps of Engineers. That's when the Harris County, quote-unquote, flood district was created out in the middle of the prairie where nobody would ever live there, right? Who would ever live out there? I mean, there's nothing out there except now from Houston's proper city limit. That is Houston's city limit. The Attucks Fairbanks, there are homes right next to it. And the water's still coming over. And so the people, what's happening is the water's still rising right now. In other words, people who said, oh, well, I'll ride it out, I'm going to have a hurricane party, now they're not. I personally know this of a family member who is not. In fact, they'll be at our house in a couple of days because they're not going to ride it out because they can't ride it out. And so this is not just relevant to something that might have happened. This is irrelevant to what is happening, and this goes to Louisiana, and I know California in the fall gets plenty of rain, and when the snows melt, they get plenty of rain and plenty of rushing waters, and it only takes one person. It doesn't take 10 million people. It takes one person who is forewarned. And if you do not study history, then you repeat it. We know this.
And this is thinking about all of our neighbors, Scott. We need to be thinking about how. Okay, so I live in a beautiful home on a lovely street. It is a court. I have wonderful neighbors. But I just want to go through a little scenario here because, yes, I'm in California. My feet are dry right now. But at any moment, there could be an earthquake, right?
That's right.
There could be an earthquake.
That's right. It's a big one.
And so I'm thinking in my mind, because I This is how we think as humans. Okay, so there's an earthquake, and I managed to survive that earthquake, so I'm going to go get in my car, and I'm going to go make sure that Steve or my loved ones are okay. But I drive down the street, and there's a huge sinkhole where the earth has separated with this earthquake, and I can't go anywhere. I can go two blocks, and then I can't go anywhere in my car. So I can't get to, let's just imagine that my mom and dad are still living, and they're in an assisted living down the street. So I then, and all of the communications are out, okay, so I can't call to see if they're okay, and I can't get to them because even though they're only 8 miles away, I simply am blocked in. And this is what's happening in Houston because the floodwaters are not letting these families get to their loved one. Okay, so let's take this a little farther. So my mom and dad, imagine, are in this assisted living. They've been cared for. They have a little dementia. But right now, they are in a assisted living. There's been this horrific earthquake. And their caregivers, the caregivers that were there, some of them are injured. But the caregivers that are not there can't get there to help get them out because they're across from this huge hole in the ground that has opened up, and now no one can get to your loved ones to help. That's what I'm seeing on the television with this whole flooding, and people need to understand you may not be able to get to your loved one. The care staff might not be able to get to your loved one. What are you going to do? You have to decide who you're going to contact, how are you going to go about getting them the help? And we see this, don't we? And if you have not,
well, Faye's father, we couldn't get to Faye's father. He has Parkinson's, and he's with his lovely wife Judith. And she's sitting with a hurricane coming down, worrying about going, you know, we couldn't get there if we wanted to. And they lost their power. That's this week, okay?
Yeah.
So that's reality. Yeah, and so this information we're going to share is critical. And by the way, truly, if you are listening live in real time instead of listening to a replay of the show, we need to hear from you with your questions, concerns, or comments. Our guest call-in line is always the same. And by the way, if you call in today, you get a free copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care from Laura Wayman. A free copy. You know, why not? And that'll serve you a lifetime or someone you know and love throughout your family. And the guest call-in line is 929-477-1393. And Laura, if you don't mind, maybe we should start talking about some of these points, the bullet points from the Alzheimer's Association on emergency plan. Create an emergency plan. Don't wait. Create, right?
Absolutely. And just like we were talking about, we have to think about that we might not be able to get a phone call directly. So we need to have a phone call chain. We need to have a plan where the initial call to one person, if we can get that one person, and they in turn call the next person, so there's a phone tree so that you can...
A daisy chain, yes.
A daisy chain, absolutely. That'll make sure that all your relatives and friends know what's happening if you can only get a hold of one of them, or... If you're having challenges and you can only get a hold of a few, then you're going to have this plan ahead of time. I know that I really hope that some of the callers will call in and say, gosh, I wish I would have done that because here we are now and we didn't think about that. Or yes, we did think about that, and that's been really our saving grace in this horrific disaster. So much of this is not just for caring for our elderly. Much of this is creating this emergency plan for everyone, but especially for our elderly who very well could be isolated, and we would need to gather our forces to make sure that they were properly cared for.
Yeah. This is a step one is create an emergency plan. Now, this is free to the public. You can go to the Alzheimer's Association, and you can download this, print it, share it, spread it around. Create an emergency plan. And if you saw the video on TV of trying to get someone in a gurney into a helicopter off of a roof to fly them to safety 20 miles away. So number one, as Laura actually was saying, have an emergency communications plan. Create a phone call chain, a plan in which you make an initial call to one person if you have phones, and they in turn call the next person and so on. This will make sure that all relatives and friends know what's happening in the event of emergency. Because nothing is as terrifying, is it, Laura, as to call a relative's home when you suddenly realize there's danger and there's no answer or no line.
That is just so, you just get a knot in your stomach, and it is just so frightening, especially, and let's really hone in here. If your loved one has a little dementia, this disaster is going to really make these dementia symptoms spike because they're going to be so anxious already. And so we cannot expect them to follow an emergency plan because they're not going to be able to process it. So that's, once again, that's why we must have a plan so that we have many people who will be able to help them as they are not going to have the normal brain function to get this done on their own, more than likely. So it is so super important that if you have a loved one, even with mild dementia, that you, with your family and friends and neighbors and the professionals that are helping you on your dementia journey, that you take the time to get this done.
Yeah. There's a lot of points, and we want to share this because it's critical information. We remind you again, we'd love to hear from you with a question or comment. If you're out there, 929-477-1393. Get a free copy of Laura's book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. And don't forget her website. It's laurawayman.com, W-A-Y-M-A-N, laurawayman.com. And you can, it's all there. You can order the books. You can ask her questions. You can find out about her seminars. She has something coming up that actually we're going to be focusing on today, but an emergency, we couldn't do it. We'll be talking more about that. She has an Alzheimer's Caregiver Conference on Saturday, the 16th of September, 9 to 1 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tacoma, Washington. Boy, that sounds like a nice place to be right now. 1315 North Stevens Street. And she's the keynote speaker. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But the second bullet point from the Alzheimer's Association is keep – this all sounds so obvious, but it's not, is it? Because like you said, we have everything scattered around. We have the cell phone. We think the world's connected to us on our Facebook account. But you know what? What if the cell tower gets knocked over, lightning hits it, and you can't use your cell phone? Keep contact information complete and up to date. Have the current home, work, and cell phone numbers of the people you need to contact in an emergency. Make sure those people have your phone number and the numbers of nearby friends or neighbors. Put an extra copy of these numbers in a travel wallet, purse, or suitcase. That's what I say. If you print it, you can read it. Thus it is spoken, thus it is written.
Absolutely, Scott. And you know, I'm struggling with technology here, not just we had some technology challenges with my microphone, but right now my computer is refusing to come online. So it's a good thing I printed this whole create an emergency plan out so we can talk about it. But that's exactly what I want our listeners to understand. We get so dependent on our devices, and in an emergency of unbelievable proportions like Hurricane Harvey, we're not going to be able to have that. And I would like to think that we're going to keep this contact information at this as close as possible to where your loved one resides. Now, if your elderly loved one resides in assisted living, they do have all of those records. That's part of being an assisted living facility, is that they have contact information and emergency information for your resident, for your loved one who resides there. But I say have another one that is in their room, that is in their closet, because can you imagine the hubbub of these firemen trying to go in to rescue everybody in their own room? What if they weren't able to get to the office area? Maybe that where all of these records are stored, maybe that's not available. So let's have that information in two places in a big facility like that, so that when those firemen and rescue personnel go in and they go into your loved one's room and it's number 123, then, you know, right there they know that on the top shelf of the closet is their ID, their contact information with all of your information there, and we're going to talk more about this, but all of their medical needs are spelled out, and any kind of prescriptions that they might need. You know, all of that is there,
all the things
that we're going to be talking about today, so that it's at the fingertips and right there with your loved one, because they may be stuck in their room or right outside in the hall, and, you know, they just need to be scooped up with all that information. That's what's going to help these emergency personnel get them out that door and get them to safety.
And, of course, ironically, my computer is going off and on while you're talking, so I have to go fiddle with it to get the screen on so I can see what we're doing.
Well,
right?
we're just kind of limping along today, and I think that is just really a sign that we're going to be why we needed to talk about this, because my lovely guest had an emergency with her dog, and we know how important that is, and she had to run her dog to the vet, so she couldn't call in, and that is my lovely dear friend, Patricia Cooper. Patricia is the, what is her title? Let me see here, because I just know her as Patricia, which doesn't really help you, but Patricia.
She's known as Master, right?
She's a master, absolutely.
She's everything.
So Patricia is, I think she's business development, if I'm not mistaken, for Family Resource Home Care. And they serve seniors throughout the Seattle-Tacoma region. And she was going to be talking about Family Resource Home Care, but we'll have her back on. But she's also one of my hosts for this very special conference that you talked about, and we'll give that information again in a little while. So anyway, she's not here. So today our show, and maybe this was just kismet, like, you know, you and I both believe that whatever will be.
Synchronicity.
Yeah, absolutely. That it really is important for us to talk about to these caregivers, for them to take the time. It could possibly be too late if you don't create this emergency plan. And so we're going to have that emergency communication plan. We're going to keep all of that information complete and up to date. And then we also, in this emergency plan, we should designate a meeting place in case you have to evacuate your home or your loved one, that elderly person that you're thinking about, has to evacuate their home wherever their home is. And pick two meeting places. I know Steve and I have talked about this often, about where would I go if I needed to get to you. And you better have two places, because like I said, the roads might be blocked in one direction. And make sure it's outside of your neighborhood, maybe one near your home and then one that's not so near your home, where you can wait and relatives can find you. How scary is it to watch? I know you're seeing this firsthand, Scott, but how scary is it to watch these folks being pulled out of their neighborhoods in boats and where are they going?
Well,
and if you were several hundred miles away and you saw them in the boat, what would you be saying?
Right.
Where am I going to find you?
Well, right now they have over 10,000 people at the George R. Brown Convention Center downtown and 10,000 people at the NRG Stadium where the football games are played in temporary shelter. And one of the biggest points of reference in those shelters are lost people, even within the building, and children getting lost, and elders. And in fact, they had a gentleman with dementia on the TV last night. They showed him at the George R. Brown, and all he knew was his name, if that's his name, and all he knew was his daughter's name, if that's his name. And he said he was born in 1965, and you look at him and say, well, look, I was born in 52. No, you weren't. You know what I mean? So, and so who is he? And that's dementia in action. I think we ought to take our break and take a breather and come back and share more of this if that's a good time. And tell people about your event first, because there are people out in the West Coast who can certainly attend this great event you're having. And this is where they can really get dementia aware.
Yes, and we'll talk about why everyone needs to be dementia aware when we come back from our break.
Okay, we'll do that and share more. It is Laura Wayman, live with the Dementia Whisperer, co-host Scott Cluthie. We're so happy to have you out there, whether you're listening now or later. It's critical information, and you need to think about it now, not later, because later is too late. The call-in line is 929-477-1393 for Live with the Dementia Whisperer. We'll be right back after these reminders about how you can interact with the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books,
for taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums. 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Well, this is co-host Scott Cluthie, and I'm sorry if you're listening and had a big blank space there. Blog Talk decided not to run the carts right now, so I had to restart the break, but we'll go back and edit that. If you're listening to the edited version, you won't hear that. And Laura's having trouble even getting on her computer, so there's a lot of Mercury retrograde. I'm all into that stuff. It's just going forward now, and there's out in her part of the country, it's about the heat. So these conditions, I'm afraid that the Earth is definitely changing in different ways for whatever reason it's happening. It doesn't matter the reason when it's happening. And so we need top-of-the-mind awareness. And we're talking today about the disaster preparedness and a plan, an action plan. In fact, I've been putting it out on Facebook and my social media last few days. This is a time in Houston for prayers and action. I don't care which one you do first, but definitely action, not sitting, because that's how we become a victim. And that's what we're doing. And so this is important information, and we're trying to get through all these points. We have about 18 minutes, so we'll have to step on the gas. But I want to welcome back the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, and also have her talk about her event. And, man, you're getting to go somewhere really I'd love to see sometime, Tacoma, Washington, Laura. And that's on the 16th of September. You're going to be the keynote speaker at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. It's from 9 to 1 p.m. And you've got a lot of critical stuff here: caregiving skills, the power of music, so on, dementia and social engagement. And it's all very relevant to what we're talking about, isn't it?
Absolutely. I really am so excited to be back in that part of the country. I have the wonderful opportunity to work with some absolutely amazing organizations. I will be working once again with Aegis Senior Living. I love them. I absolutely love them. I'll be doing some trainings, presentations. I'm going to be doing a CE, a contact hour event at Swedish Hill Medical Center, and I will be at 3 or 4, I can't remember exactly, my schedule is very, very full that entire week from September 11th through the 16th. I will be at 4, I believe, Aegis Buildings. Aegis Senior Living is, like I said, a wonderful organization. They have assisted living and memory care, and they allow me to train their families, the entire community, their staff. They really have opened their arms to my program, and I am so honored to work with them. I will be speaking for some other wonderful organizations, Visiting Angels In-Home Care. I'll be speaking for Comfort Keepers in Bremerton and many, many other places. My schedule is jam-packed full all that week, and then I have the wonderful honor of being the keynote speaker for this Alzheimer's Caregiver Conference 2017 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church on September 16th from 9 to 1. And I believe that they are filling up fast. If you are interested at all, please contact me, because I can get you to the person who would be doing the RSVP and who would be making sure that you will be there for this conference on this Saturday, September 16th, there in Tacoma, Washington. And email me if you would like my schedule, because if you can't make it on this Saturday, let's see if we can get together on one of these other days when I'm out and about in that area. I come to that area, and I've been asked to come back. I come probably about once a quarter, and there are such wonderful organizations that so value this education about becoming dementia aware. That's what I speak on, and I help people to better understand, to have a transformed dementia perspective so that they can understand inside and out how dementia affects someone, what dementia is, and how we can better communicate and connect with that person with dementia, how we can make meaningful connections with them, how we can better manage these different behaviors and challenges that come up, and the realistic expectation about what we can and cannot do when we're caring for somebody who has dementia, because we unfortunately can't stop it, we can't fix it, and we can't change it. Which is exactly what caregivers want to do. So yeah, come hear me. Sure. Come see me. I want to meet you. I want to hear all about your journey. And I'm so excited to be coming back to that area. Please email me if you have any questions about my time there. You can email me. I'm so easy to get a hold of. It's help, H-E-L-P, at laurawayman.com. And it's LauraWayman.com. So just help at laurawayman.com. I also just am working on revamping my website. And so if you pull up my website now, it's not the revamped version, but in the next couple weeks, you will see the revamped version, and it's just really exciting. But that is, once again, laurawayman.com. You can get a hold of me through that as well. And can also check out my events page. Right now, my events page does not have the Washington information because we're transferring my website, that events page, over to my new website. So email me. I'm happy to give you that information. So thank you for giving me that moment, Scott. I am always so pleased to invite everybody to come see me. I want to meet you. I want to hear what I learn from you, too. I want to hear what challenges you have, what successes you have. Let me get to know you in person. It's just my honor, like I said. So today, Scott and I, we were going to have Patricia Cooper on the show, but she had an emergency. So I wanted to talk about this event because she's really the force behind this event and getting me out there again. So we'll have her back when we get the first moment we get a chance. Yes. But
very good.
Let's continue talking about creating an emergency plan. And Scott, tell our listening audience, if they're just coming in, why this is so important and what you are experiencing where you're at.
Well, why it's so important is it's a life and death matter. That's why. And the thing is, emergency and disaster can be on a very small scale, just your home losing power. Maybe the backhoe guy with the electric company goes down the neighborhood and doesn't look where he's cutting and dugs up the power, and suddenly you have someone with dementia or Alzheimer's or just elderly and teetering on the brink, and we don't even know what the diagnosis is, and all power's cut off. Meanwhile, they're on meds, or they're on a gurney, or they have special dialysis. 22 children who were probably no more than about 3 to 4 years old max, many of them a year and less, on dialysis, had to be flown out by the Coast Guard. A secret mission, as it were, in the middle of the night, in the middle of a hurricane. Well, don't think it can't happen to you and your loved ones, because it can. And being forearmed is forewarned, is prepared. That's why this list from the Alzheimer's Association is so important, and you can get it, and it's free. And we want to go back to some of these pointers. And even if you're in the midst of this in Houston listening right now, these are things you can do right now to make a difference. And this is a really important one. Order a medical ID bracelet. A medical ID bracelet or pendant for people with chronic health problems, information on medical conditions, allergies, which now Houston, we want to talk about allergies and things in the air, medication, emergency contact engraved on the surface. Very easy to get done. And it also can be worn as a pendant or a bracelet or anything like that. And it's a sort of a permanent marker for you. Get local emergency and evacuation information in advance, if you can. If they can get it to you, so you know. So you know the road you used to take, Highway 1. Oh, well, it's got a 5-foot gap in it, and there's nobody going down Highway 1 this year, please. What are you going to do? Have a plan, and plan to have a plan and make the plan work, and make travel arrangements in case of evacuation. Well, if you can, if you don't have a helicopter, people, we had a whole crew from New Orleans, from Louisiana, first people to respond before the Coast Guard, before the National Guard, which has been called out, before the Navy, before any of those people. a whole crew of, I mean, like 50 or 60 guys from Louisiana, because of all their storms, called, they call themselves the Cajun Navy. They got on the freeway and came straight toward Houston to wherever they ran into the water first and started saving people like that. But guess where they are now? They're back in Louisiana because a storm went there. That's having a plan and acting on it. And those first responders are literally were the first responders. Those are the kind of things. Step two, Laura, I'm going to let you talk a little about that. Stock an emergency medical kit. That's incredibly important.
It is incredibly important. And I want folks to know that if your loved one or older, who is an older adult, lives in a facility, these plans are mandatory, but you should be in communication with the facility. For example, a facility has to have a plan of where their residents would go in an emergency. But I'd like to ask the families, do you know where they're supposed to be going? Because I bet you haven't asked that question. And
yeah,
I
do you have the plan?
Yeah, you need the plan. You as the family member needs to have that plan because they have to have it. But I'm, you know, they probably didn't think to share that with you. But now this should be in the forefront of your mind. And I have a funny story I don't know how funny it is, but it's kind of scary. But I was working as a marketer at a local assisted living memory care several years ago. And we happened to be in a meeting one time with the corporate powers to be, who happened to be in this meeting, and they were discussing their emergency plan, and they were saying that there was supposed to be an inventory of canned food enough that would feed all of the residents if for 3 days, if there was some kind of an emergency and the residents were stuck there and they weren't able to get out. And so what happened is that several people in the kitchen, unfortunately, over the years had been taking that inventory
filtering
and using
the food.
And so all that was left, can you imagine if this happened? All that was left was canned nacho cheese. There was several.
That's what was
like
left.
50, that's all that was left was 50 cans of nacho cheese, the big, huge, industrial size of nacho cheese. So we need to be doing some follow-up here because had something happened, had there been an earthquake, and this is earthquake country, and all of the residents, and there were 75 residents at this assisted living, and they were stuck there for 3 days, guess what their diet would have been? So
yeah, nacho cheese.
We need to be following up on this now. Now, you know, we need to be asking these questions as family members. What's your disaster plan? What, you know, show me what you have. And I know this seems absolutely ridiculous, but is it ridiculous, Scott? Could it happen in the blink of an eye? You are living, breathing proof.
Life is an emergency many times. And, emergency means that you didn't expect it to happen, right? We didn't expect, and in fact, hey, all the people out on the East Coast, Florida, North, South Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Virginia, you've got a storm that's now a Category 3 or 4 whistling its way. And for all I know, it could go into the Gulf or it could go right up the West Coast to East Coast and smack right into Virginia or whatever. That's not some speculation. That's happening right now.
It is. It's so eye-opening. And I know that family members will feel so much more peace of mind. Yes, this is unpleasant. Yes, this is a huge challenge. Yes, I know that everybody's scared and that there's lots and lots of needs here. But we have to absolutely put our elderly in the forefront and be thinking and planning for them. They deserve the time that we would take to make sure that if we stock an emergency medical kit, that it's a 3 to 6 day supply of their medications along with an up-to-date medication list. Some of these medications, It could be life-threatening if they don't have them. They're dependent on them. Now, I'd like to challenge this a little bit, Scott, and we may need to do a little bit of research and maybe talk about this on our next show. But okay. I wonder how, let's just say that you go to your medical provider and you say, well, I'm stocking an emergency medical kit. I need 3 to 6 days worth of a prescription. I need you to write that because nowadays they won't give you extra medication.
You know? No, they won't.
Yeah, so we need to be thinking about this early. So, you know, I need 3 extra days of my blood pressure medication. Well, why? Well, because I'm making an emergency medical kit. Well, we won't do that. I wonder how challenging that is. We need to look into this a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, what's the truth of it? And also, regulations in different cities, in different states, in different counties.
Different
there's no continuity
providers. Yeah.
They talk about continuity of care, but that's what's missing is policy.
Yeah, and insurance. How many insurance companies are going to let you do that? I wonder.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So, and what if the medical require refrigeration? How are you going to handle that? Wow, there's so much to think about here.
Wow. Yeah. Oh,
so we need
brother.
To be thinking about stocking an emergency medical kit, but there's lots of questions on how we get that done. Hmm. And what about...
There's so many.
What about including your blood sugar monitoring equipment? What about written information about treatment? Your healthcare provider, you might not be able to get to your healthcare provider. You might have to be using another healthcare provider that's not familiar with you. Might be an emergency.
Now, let's face it, Laura, a lot of people have care. They don't even know who the care provider coming is that day. That's the truth.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
Some people have none.
Yes. So this whole thing is getting bigger. It's not getting smaller.
Yeah.
But it,
no, it's
it
not.
Really is.
That's
pointing
why.
To, it's pointing to, you know, maybe what you and I can do, Scott, is maybe we could look for a individual who is an expert in this. And our next show, we could talk a little bit more about how do we make this preparedness kit? How do we get this disaster supply kit?
Well, you know what, Laura? Believe it or not, our show is about to end, and my screen has gone white. So
okay.
We're going to... But actually, here's the deal. First aid kit and manual. The Red Cross comprehensive list of what to pack in your first aid kit. Redcross.org. That's a good place to start. And maybe somebody from the Red Cross and maybe somebody from the Alzheimer's Association who specializes in those areas. Those might make two great guests.
Let's work on that. Let's make a promise to our listeners today. I just want to finish up by saying caring for our seniors perhaps is the greatest responsibility we have. Those who walked before us have given so much and made possible the life we all enjoy. Let's give to them with some more talk, some more research, and some more experts to talk about how we can do this a little bit better. What do you think, Scott?
I think that's a great idea, and it's a real service. And I want to remind people you can go to Alzheimer's Organization online, .org, Alzheimer's Association, and get this emergency plan and download it and share it with your friends and family and send it in an email and all that. And this is crazy because now my computer's gone all white. I don't know if this is a blog talk problem or what. I can't even hit the out cue. So we have 10 seconds. I want you to know it's a very valuable show one way or another, Laura, and we're going to add some new additions and wrinkles to the show upcoming as well, aren't we?
We are.
More information that's relevant.
Yep, we're getting better all
right.
the time, so
right.
we're going to make it better. So thank you, Scott, for being with me again today, and we'll be talking.
Well, thank you, Laura Wayman, and if I could hit the out cue music, I would. I guess I'll slap that on later with my editing skills. But
okay.
I want to remind you, you've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer with Laura Wayman. You can always contact her through laurawayman.com. Get a copy of her newly revised book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, with all new additions, all new information, And we look forward to working and serving you in the future. Till then, take care, be kind. This is co-host Scott Cluthy, and thanks again for listening to Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer, on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Scott, I guess we're done.